B'tzivach, this is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. I'd like to comment on the very opening of the parsha. Noach is introduced as an ish, tzaddik, tamim b'darosav. And Noach, who is selected, plucked out of obscurity from the Ribbono Shel Olam to be the one individual, in essence, the individual to restart humanity, is described with these three words, ish, tzaddik, tamim. And Rav Gifter once pointed out, as recorded in various essays, that these are three deliberate descriptions of Noach, ish, tzaddik, and tamim. Now, tamim means a person who has a great emunah, tzaddik is a person who is righteous, and ish is a person and not a bench, a person and not a rock, a person and not a beast. So the question clearly is, what does the Torah tell us he's a person? Rav Gifter points out that ish over here doesn't mean that he's a person. Ish means that he has a basic decency of humanity. He's a mensch. And if you look at these three criteria, the third of the three criteria is tamim, has emunah. The second is tzaddik, he's righteous. And the first, the very first, is that he's an ish, that he has menschlichkeit. And this notion, therefore, that he is an ish and that he's a person who has a basic sense of humanity and decency and dignity, we can ask the question, why does Ribbono Shel Olam have to tell us that? In other words, tamim, somebody who has a faith, and it's a pure faith, only Hashem can give testimony to that. Somebody who is a tzaddik, the truth of the matter is, we can see people, and they, you know, they might show tzidkus, but true tzidkus, true righteousness, can only be attested to by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Menschlichkeit? Menschlichkeit, you either behave like a mensch, you don't behave like a mensch. Why does the Torah have to tell me that he is an ish, if indeed ish means menschlichkeit? And I think that there are two perspectives on this. One is that it's something that we may overlook and think that is not so, maybe we take for granted is not so important. And number two is to emphasize that this is not just an idea, but it is a critical idea. And therefore, ish is number one on the list, and ish has to be mentioned even though we could see it on our own. Rabbi Fran mentioned the famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's granddaughter was going to be read a shidduch to Reb Chaim Ozer. He was a young man at the time, Reb Chaim Ozer. And her father comes to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and says, I have this wonderful shidduch, he's an elo, he's an achacham, a masmid, and everything. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter reportedly responded to him with a homiletic interpretation of the pasuk in Devarim. Pasuk says, as biti nasati la'ish hazeh, I gave my daughter to this man. Said Rabbi Yisrael, doesn't say as biti nasati la'ilui hazeh, la'chacham hazeh, la'masmid hazeh, says as biti nasati la'ish hazeh. The idea of ish is menschlichkeit, is human decency, honor, dignity, integrity. And it's interesting to note that if you look at the beginning of Bereishis, not too long ago, only a week ago, if you look at the beginning of Bereishis, so we see that the Ribbono Shel Olam created Adam, right? Pasuk says it in a few different ways, Adam. However, when is the first time the word ish is used? If you look at the psukim tell us that Hashem created Adam, and Adam did this, and Adam did that, and the other thing. And then Hashem realizes that Adam needs a spouse, Adam needs a mate. Pasuk says, Vayikra ha-Adam shemos l'chol ha-behema, Adam named all of the living beings. Vayapel Hashem alakim tardema ala ha-Adam, and Hashem brought a slumber upon Adam, and he went to sleep, and he took one of his sala'os, one of his ribs. Vayiven Hashem alakim es ha-tzela asher lakach min ha-Adam l'isha, and Hashem built from this tzela a woman, and he brings her to Adam. Vayomer ha-Adam, and now Adam speaks, and he says, Lizos yikare isha. Says, this being will be called a woman. Why? Ki me ish lukacha zos. This is the first time that Adam is referred to as an ish. And it seems, therefore, I would like to suggest that Hashem created Adam. Adam is the basic form of a human being. Adam is what Hashem creates. Ish is what we create. When Adam understood that his role here was about giving to the Isha, giving to Chava, so then he says to himself, I realize that's my purpose, that's my goal, that's my mission statement, to give to another, to be there for another human being, that's already an Ish. And so when he refers to her, he says, "Lazosi kare isha ki me ish lukacha zos al kein yazav isha saviv ves imo." Ish has an inherent organic meaning of menschlichkeit, of basic decency, humanity, understanding that the world doesn't revolve around me, but I have to be concerned and care for the other. And thus, we get back to Noach. Noach was an ish tzaddik tamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Noach. Yes, because he was a tamim, and yes, because he was a tzaddik. But first and foremost, because, in fact, he was an ish. I'd like to share with you briefly another thought from the parsha. And that is, the other end of the parsha, the very mysterious and tragic and difficult story of Noach and Cham after the Mabul. And the Torah tells us that Vayar Cham Avi Chanan, Cham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked as Ervas Aviv, and he went out and he told his brothers, and they came and they covered him up, and Ayikatz Noach Miyeno, Noach woke up from his drunken stupor, Vayeda Es Asher Salo Benoach Katan, and he realizes what his young son did to him. He says, Ara Canaan, the basic question that everyone asks, how is it that Cham sinned and Canaan is cursed? If Cham sinned, Cham should have been punished. Why Cham sinned and Canaan is punished? So here, there are multiple answers to this. The Medrash gives us several. The Medrash says, number one, you're misunderstanding the Pasuk. Vayedas asher asah lo b'no ha-katan, when he realizes what his son, the katan, did, it means b'no ha-pasul. It means that it wasn't his youngest son. It was his son who behaved in a terrible way, that he himself was invalid. Cham is the ben ha-katan. So if Cham is the ben ha-katan, so then again, we reinforce the question, why is Canaan being punished? The Medrash says, wait a minute. The reason that Canaan is being punished is because really Cham deserved it, but Cham was already blessed, and he can't have a klala in the place where there's already a bracha from Hashem, so it was impossible. So it goes to Canaan. Right? So Canaan was punished by default, not necessarily. The Medrash isn't entirely satisfied with that. And Rabbi Nechemiah says, that was Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah says, no, Canaan Ravi Higid L'Cham. Canaan did do something terrible. Canaan enabled Cham. And being an enabler, the terrible, terrible activity, a dastardly deed, something which is immoral and corrupt at its core, it's not good enough to say, well, I didn't do it. No, if you enabled it, if you stood by, if you're a bystander and you have the ability to stand in and to stop and to prevent, if you're a bystander and you open up the door for the Russia to go in and create havoc, then that's on you. That's on you. Rav Huna says famously, Atamanata osimilasos davashu bafela, you prevented me from doing intimate relations. And so therefore, Rav Huna says that I'm going to cause you grief in your own family. So we turn around over and over again. Cham did the sin, Canaan did the sin, Cham did the sin. At the end of the day, Or Canaan. Canaan is cursed. And this really begs the question, whether it was Cham who sinned and Or gets bears the brunt of it, or Canaan who sinned and Canaan bears the brunt of it. It's fascinating that of all the lands in the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam chooses Eretz of Or Canaan for Klal Yisrael to go and make into Eretz Yisrael. All the lands of the world. Couldn't find any place else. No place else. And it seems to me that it's exactly the right place. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, the reason that this story is here at the end of the Parsha is not to tell us some sordid details about the family life, Noach, Cham of Canaan, but it's really setting up for us at the end of the Parsha the backstory for Lech Lecha, for next week. Why is Avram called to go to Eretz Canaan, to Har HaMoriah? What's he doing over there in Eretz Canaan, the land of cursed people? And the answer is that the mission statement of Avraham Avinu, the mission statement of every Jew, is not to go to places of light and make it a little bit more light, but to live in a world, as we do it, of Choshech, and bring light to the darkness. That's the mission statement of Avraham Avinu in Eretz Canaan, and it's the mission statement of Klal Yisrael, who conquered Eretz Canaan, And it is the mission statement of Klal Yisrael in a world of Choshech, in a world of darkness. Our mission statement is not to bring light to places of light, but to find the places of darkness and bring the light to the darkness. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless us and give us the courage and the wisdom to be people like Noah, to be people that have this single most critical character trait of what it means to be a human being, and that is Menschlichkeit. Indeed, the single most important quality of what it means to be a Ben Torah or a Bas Torah, Menschlichkeit. But then, to build on that, to take it, and to bring the light of the Ribbono Shel Olam to all the crevices and cracks in which we find darkness throughout the world. And when we do that as individuals and as a community, we will be zocha to bring to create a world of light, a world in which we can welcome Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen.